a new set of legs. And he's dancing with mom. And we celebrate resurrection life in Christ today. It's real. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he die. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for Easter Sunday. As we heard in Bible study this week, we would say with young Samuel, speak, Lord Jesus, your servants are listening. Speak to that need in our own heart, which you alone know, and lead us in the way everlasting. We love you. Amen. We have Baptism Sunday today, and we're going to baptize a few people. And during our baptism interviews, I said, I don't know if you guys do this at your church, but I've been to baptisms where in the tank, if anybody wants to be baptized on that day, you just kind of invite people. Do you think we should try that? And my new friend Britt Chisholm said, I'll be really disappointed if you don't do that. And this morning, we're having breakfast, and young John comes up and says, I heard it's Baptism Sunday. I want to be baptized. Well, I said, John, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Yeah. Are you saved? Yeah. We had a conversation. I said, we got a little format here at the in the Baptist church, and I grabbed the first deacon I could find right over there, Caroline, and I said, Michelle Kleinstein, where are you? Let's pray, John. Make sure he knows Jesus. And John's joined us to get baptized today, and that's worthy of a big amen right now. I love the book of Acts when it says, and he added to the number daily those who were being saved. So we're going to have a great time today. I want to welcome some of you who come once in a while. I drove up here with my friend Sue Da Brown. And talk about resurrection life. Sue is got a new lease on life, and she's reffing basketball last week, a couple weeks ago. In the middle of the basketball game, reffing, Sue's in good shape, eats well. Minimal stress, unless I'm with her, and driving, and she feels this incredible push on the heart. And when you're our age, the aspirin's on standby, and you kind of have been told, if you feel that little pressure on the heart, something might not be going wrong. And Sue says to her referee, I'm having an episode. To which she probably responded, well, you're always having an episode, Sue. Just kidding. And Sue had a full-blown heart attack. 90% blockage. Stint goes in, praise God for medicine. Prayers go out. And Sue's here after a heart attack. Yeah. And we're thankful that when God does tap Sue on the shoulder, because we all said, too soon, Lord, we need her here. But when he does tap her on the shoulder, she believes that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and she's good to go. And I hope you're good to go today. And if you're not, then we want to give you an opportunity to say, I would like to hear a little bit more about this Jesus of yours and come into a friendship with him. Resurrection Sunday, I want you to turn to John chapter 11 in your Bible. If you do not have a Bible, shame on you. This is a church. What are you thinking? Just kidding. If you don't have a Bible, you might have a device, or you may have memorized the scriptures, or you just may like to sit back, relax, and listen, and that's just fine. Welcome those of you online at Bedside Baptist. Glad to have you here. We also call you the people of St. Matris. God bless you. John 11, I've just broken this chapter down to make it a little bit easier to handle. Three things: the relationships of the resurrection, the reality of the resurrection, and your and my response to the resurrection. Looks like you're ready to go. We got a bodyguard today, so no one falls into the tank. So don't be nervous about our brother standing here. The relationships of the resurrection. You know what's really cool about our friend Jesus? He's real. He's real. And he had friends. Welcome, Mark. I know you've drifted off of the deacon's board, but coming in like 20, like really? Oh, for crying out loud. If you want to be part of our world here, we love to embarrass people. So Mark's going to sing Victory in Jesus karaoke at the end for Brit. Okay, so you might want to start working on that, Mark. God bless you. Now, a certain man was ill, John chapter 11, verse 1. A certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany. Bethany means the house of the poor. Jesus always goes to the margins. You hear this word all the time, diversity, equity, inclusion. They ripped it off from Jesus. He always goes to the margins. Whosoever will may come, everyone's welcome. As many as received him, no color, creed, race, baggage, you can come. Jesus says, Lazarus of Bethany in the house of Mary and her sister Martha. Three friends of Jesus, Lazarus, Mary, Martha. Jesus has friends, good friends that he's close to. I don't know about you, but you may have a friend who's a hoarder, right? Some people hoard stuff. People like me hoard friends. Sometimes you can have too many. I was wisely counseled one year, a while ago. Jesus had three very close friends, Peter, James, and John. They were there on every significant occasion. And then he had the 12. And then he had the 70 elders. Three. We call those 3 a.m. friends. Can you call them at 3 a.m.? And will they be upset with you if you don't call at 3 a.m. when you need them? 3 a.m. friends, that's three. You can only probably have three of those. 12 people you're discipling, you're in ministry with, and then the periphery. And my friend looked me in the eye and said, Dan, don't think you can influence more people than Jesus. Think about the friends in your life. Think about the quality of that friendship. Jesus has friends, and these are in the close circle. Mary, Martha, then they could not be different. We know about Mary and Martha because there's a little meal a couple of months before, and Jesus comes over, and Martha's in the kitchen. I don't want to mention any names, but you know the Martha types because they're in the kitchen getting everything done. Right? They've got help, but they're in the kitchen. And Martha is very, very doing-oriented, while Mary just likes to sit and contemplate Jesus in what we call here the thin space. My sister Mary Ann is our Martha. My sister Sandra is our Mary. And my Martha sister Mary Ann says, you contemplators hanging out with Jesus are going to starve and die, so get in here and help me and get the meal ready. And the Mary people are, just relax. We need to spend some time with the Lord. I'm a bit of a hybrid. My boy Mick back here, Mick and I are kind of hybrids. We like being in the kitchen, kind of picking on some of the food, pretending we're helping out, and then contemplating Jesus. Hey, Mick? We love that. So you might be a hybrid too. The point being, if you are a doer and a servant in the kingdom of God, God bless you. God's made you like that. Be Martha to the max. If you're a contemplator and you just want to sit with Jesus and be alone with him, you max that out. And then sometimes they'll drag you in the kitchen to help, and sometimes they'll drag you in the kitchen to be part of what's going on in the contemplation. I love the kitchen gospel according to Linda Packle. The kitchen gospel, according to Linda Packle, God is in the kitchen. You and I are still in the oven, and God is still cooking on us. But one day, friends, he's going to open that oven, take you and me out, and say, well done. Good and faithful. All right? So the relationships of the resurrection, you got Martha, Mary, Lazarus is in a bit of trouble. He's all wrapped up, decaying, and in a tomb. We'll get there. And the disciples say to Jesus, why are you going back to Judea? Jesus, They're trying to stone you there. They want to kill you. Why don't we just stay here where ministry's really comfortable, the demons are leaving, the people are coming, the baptisms are happening, everybody loves us here. Just, can we just stay in this comfortable ministry experience, which many of us have? And Jesus says, we're going to go to Judea, where there's death, there's crosses, and there's rocks. I love my Pentecostal pals. We want the New Testament church. We want tongues and gifts and resurrections. And I want that too. I just remind them that along with that comes the crosses and the rocks and the people who don't like you. Jesus says we're going where it can get a little bit ugly. And our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. It's a common term down in verse 11. He's fallen asleep. You read the Old Testament and it says, and Joseph fell asleep with his fathers. Jacob fell asleep. Common expression for death. The disciples are a little thick and they're like, well, if he's sleeping, Jesus, can't you just wake him up? In verse 14, Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And I love this. And for your sake, verse 15. I'm glad that I was not there. Ouch. Jesus, the healer, the raiser, someone dies. He's not there. The disciples got really angry with Jesus a while back. We have a storm. The rocks are flying. It's getting ugly. Do you not care? Jesus says, he's dead, and I'm glad I wasn't there so that you may believe. Elijah raises a widow's son. And when that little boy is raised from the dead, the widow looks at Elijah and says, now I know that there's a God in Israel. You're his servant, and everything you say is true. Jesus is fulfilling the mission of the Gospel of John, which simply says this. Here's John's thesis. I suppose if everything were ever written that Jesus said or did, the world could not contain the books. But these are written. These scriptures are written, speaking of the Old Testament, that you may know that Jesus is the Christ and that you may have life believing in his name. We're going to go down and raise Lazarus from the dead so that you believe that what I am here for is not to make good people better or bad people good. Jesus came to make dead people live. And in a moment, our baptismal candidates are going to go in there and we're going to demonstrate dying to everything you are, raising to everything he is. And anyone who wants to do that, welcome. The relationships of the resurrection. Finally, Thomas, we got the confused disciples, we've got Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and then there's Tom. I gotta love Tommy boy. Listen to this. Well, if we're gonna go to Jerusalem where the rocks are flying and the crosses are hot, then Thomas says, okay, let's go that we may die with him. Thomas gets a bad rap. Oh, he's the doubter. Oh, he's the one who said, show me the evidence. Any doubters in the building? Anybody question your faith in the house? I love you guys, because at the end of the day, you want real evidence of a real Jesus and a real resurrection, and that's awesome, because God will meet you there. But you know what I love about Thomas? He also understands the gospel. Let's go die with him. If he's going to die, we're going to die with him. Peter, who could proclaim the gospel big time, when it got ugly, he betrayed him. Don't pick on the doubters. Give them the answers to help them understand that God is real. Well, next we've got the reality of the resurrection. Verse 17, Jesus came. He found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Be thankful, Kevin Horsberg. Sue's talked me out of this, but I was going to bring you down and wrap you in the linen cloths right here. But we don't have enough time, but that was going to happen. You can thank Suze for not being here wrapped up in linen. But they would wrap you very, very carefully, and the Jews would bury you, they would put you in a tomb with the grave clothes on, get some spices on you. They did not embalm like we do. So when you hear that he's been in the tomb for 4 days, you will hear arguments that, well, he really wasn't dead. Jesus is performing the last miracle of his ministry, and it's really emphatic. He's been in the tomb for 4 days, and I thought I'd do a little bit of research on what happens when you're in the wrap with a bit of spices on for 4 days. What was the spice that was given to Jesus at his birth, friends? Jesus came to die. Don't forget that. But Resurrection Day is why we live in Christ. So 72 hours, all the bad stuff happens, according to the research. 4 days after your heart stops beating, your cells have zero oxygen, they all die, and blood starts to drain and pool at the low points in your body. Muscles stiffen. In about 3 hours, rigor mortis sets in. And after 24 hours, all your heat's gone. And yeah, we've got some nurses in the, house who could actually verify this stuff. I hope I'm not off target here. Then after 72 hours, the body and the soft tissue start to decay. In 72 hours, the body's soft and its bacteria starts to work against it, destroying itself. The bacteria in a dead body attacks itself, and then the smell starts. The green, nasty fluid is created. The tissues reduce a hydrogen sulfide and methane. Uh-oh. The environmental people are going to be all over these dead guys. Methane's getting released into the air, and the insects and the animals come to devour the body, if they can get at it. Point? Lazarus is very dead. And Jesus is gathering around this group of people to demonstrate something that he wants everybody to see. While Lazarus is in the tomb and Mary's in the kitchen and Martha's wanted to be with Jesus, you hear these loud wailing cries. They would hire professionals to come and mourn the death. 7 days of mourning, intense, followed by 30 days of mourning, a little bit lighter, but you'd hang around, you'd bring meals, you'd love people. They really took death long and serious. So when you have time to be with people at a funeral, just take the time to love and bless them. It's important. We kind of rush through them because we kind of want to get back to normal. The early biblical individuals they stood in the face of death and they loved the people who were hurting. Well, Martha. Martha gets the first word. I feel the passage now gets this little bit of a Monty Python vibe, okay? So you've got these mourners freaking out. You've got this decaying brother. Martha's kind of doing her Martha thing. Mary's here. And the only people who get a good, solid biblical word in here are the ladies. And here is ancient Palestine. And Martha speaks up and says, Lord, just like a doer, if you hadn't been here, my brother wouldn't have died. I just love it when people rebuke Jesus. If you pray with people, you'll hear them kind of sometimes throw a little rebuke God's way if they know him well. And it's like, she loves Jesus. He loves them, the passage says. They're close. If you'd been here, my brother would not have died. I don't know how you pray. But these are the bold prayers of someone who's close to Jesus. Well, Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. In verse 22, I know George likes my big butts of the Bible. Here's one coming, George. Verse 22, but this ray of hope, even now I know Lord Jesus, because she calls him Lord, whatever you ask from God, God is going to give you. God will do for you. Beautiful. Jesus said, your brother will rise again. So her Christology is perfect. She knows Jesus, and she knows he will do what he wants to do, and God the Father will help him. Christology, check. Now, her eschatology emerges. Eschatology is the study of the last days or the end times. Martha said to him, well, I know that he'll rise again, Jesus, on the resurrection day. Some religious people did not believe in the resurrection in Jesus' time. Others, when you die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. One day, we all rise to be with him. Great eschatology. And finally, Jesus bottom lines it. Jesus said to her, not I raise people from the dead. I'm not the healer. He doesn't go into any theology. He uses the tetragrammatron that we talked about earlier. I am Moses, burning bush. Who shall I say has sent me? I am God himself. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, he will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he looks her right in the eye and says, do you believe this? Isn't that a great question? I offer it to you. Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you will never die. And that word life, my friends, is the spiritual life of God. There's three words for life in the Bible. I always said if I had twin girls, I would name them Anastasia, and Zoe. Resurrection, Anastasia, Anastasis. Zoe means spiritual life. Bios, biological life. Psuche, our rattling around emotional, mental life. Zoe, life of God himself. Jesus says, I can offer you spiritual life that you can't get anywhere. Living water, bread of life, resurrection, way, truth, life. He's filling out this I am section so beautifully. I'm the resurrection of life. And then he stops and says, do you believe this? And I know that when you hear the word believe, you have a bunch of different categories. Well, so did the Bible. When I hear the word believe, you can believe as a note taking phenomenon. Yes, I take note of that concept. The next step is I make mental assent to the concept. In other words, yeah, I believe that could be very well true. So there's the chair. Believe it exists. Yeah, Ruth is sitting on the chair, so it's probably legit. But when you take the step to come in and to trust the chair completely, that's the belief Jesus is using when he's, do you believe? And man, I saw this incredible windsurfer one year on a little island called Beachcomber. And he laid down with his sail, surfboard here, on the beach, water here, sand here, laid down, put one foot on the board and went like this, grabbed the sail, did a little push-up. I mean, this guy was cool, you know, abs, great-looking guy, tan, kind of looked like Eli Cook over there. And he's like, you know, he does a little push-up. He turned the sail, and boom, he ended up on this windsurf board going from island to island. Sharks, waves. He completely trusted the wind and the board. Is that your relationship with God? Or are you just taking note, making mental assent, or are you in the chair? Well, she says, Lord, in the Greek, I already believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God, who's come into the world. She rests on her theology. It's good theology. It's good. You're the Christ. You're the Son of God who's come into the world. She believes what she knows. She's an Old Testament saint. You're the Christ. And by believing that, she had life in his name. But what she didn't know is resurrection was for her. So now Mary shows up And Mary says to Jesus, this is the difference between the prayer that says, Lord, if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died, and Mary. Mary came, verse 32, beautiful. Mary came to where Jesus was. And what did she do, Eli? Big difference. You wag your finger in prayer, or do you fall at your feet and worship God and say, whatever your will is? That's the difference. She falls on her face, and she says, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Very different prayer. Very different posture. How's your posture in your relationship with Jesus? Face down or telling him what to do? In our house, when I'm out my way, my wife is really, really good when I'm wagging the finger or going passive aggressive. We have a little code in my house. When my wife wants to sort me out, if I'm being a little bit like, I'm not getting my way, I like getting my way, she'll say, oh, you have some poop in your diaper. Ask Morgan about that. It's pretty nasty stuff. It needs to be fixed right away, right? So when I get a little bit ornery, and why, she goes, oh, a little poop in your, and if I've been doing it for a long time, she'll say, well, we're getting into the crusties, aren't we? And I've got to change my attitude pretty quick. And thank God for a wife that says, you can't be like that. And Jesus saw everybody weeping, verse 33. This is where it gets just beautiful, friends. And Jesus saw everybody weeping. The word is kleino. For you Greek people who like words, it's kleino. It means sobbing, it's wailing. Everybody's freaking out. They're showing emotion. And Jesus, who had come with her, and the Jews who had come with her were also weeping. They're hired people, so they're screaming and wailing. And Jesus was deeply moved. Now, that word's been mistranslated a lot. Jesus was deeply moved. That's one of those really power-packed words. In Greek, it's embrimomai. Embrimomai. And it means the deepest emotional, indignant, inner pain and suffering possible. Sad, hurt, conserved, greed. It means to feel deeply in your emotion the pain of others. Now, that'll change your expression of the gospel of Jesus. Because there's a lot of pain in this room right now. And there's a lot of pain, those listening. And the Greek gods that you will read about, they call those Greek gods apatheos, apathetic. They do not enter your pain. They look down, too bad, so sad. Where Jesus feels the deepest cosmic pain of the sin of all the world and your individual pain right now. I love that about the gospel of Jesus. He knows your pain unlike anybody, even you. And he'll meet you right there, right now. And he cries. And this is another word. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible, you all know it. At Bible school, we got to have memory verses. Oh, I got Jesus wept. That's going to be mine. Thanks, lazy person. This wept is a sudden outburst. Jesus is carrying such emotion, he just... This is at a very minor scale. I don't want to ever compare myself to Jesus, but I had a couple of moments in my life where I experienced really deep emotional pain. I was a youth pastor in Australia, and you got all these young people, 10 to 18, and you're just really close to them. And I went home, and I had a great ministry, and one of favorite kids in the youth group called, and she said she was really, really young. And this is in the 80s, so it was a little bit harder then. And she said, Dan, I'm pregnant, and I'm not sure what to do. She's about 15. I remember just feeling that pain. And I remember I was sitting in my home and reading this from a letter, because you wrote letters back then, you texting people. We actually wrote letters back then. It was really amazing. And I read this, and the words came off the page, and I lost the feeling in my legs very quickly. I just fell down. and I wept. And a number of years later, one of my dearest friends attempted suicide. And he was a hero to me. Everything he did was excellent. He was a really special individual. And I remember the next morning after he attempted suicide and he was in the hospital, remember I was in my shower and my tears, I swear, guys, they came out. There was an emotional depth of pain I've never experienced before. And what I would love to do as a body of people here at Mount Forest, I would love us to be known for we love Jesus by loving others deeply. The kind of love that costs, that's painful. And Jesus shows this. And then it says, verse 38, deeply moved again, and now he's angry. He's angry. This word can bring, and the death, and the pain, and your sin and mine, and what's going on in the world right now that really offends and hurts you, he gets angry at that, and he says, move away the stone! But in the King James Version, Martha says, it's been 4 days. By this time, he stinketh. In the King James, he stinketh. And Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, full trust, full commitment, I love you, Jesus, if you believed, you would not see the glory of God. Ooh, I love that. The glory, that's a full other sermon. So they took away the stone. And if you love to pray, here's a great prayer for you to model your prayer life after. If you love to pray, verse 42, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Wow. Jesus, modeling prayer. Thank you that you hear me. Maybe some of you haven't prayed in a long time and you wonder if he hears you. I've got a promise for you. He does. He does. Thank you, you've heard me. I know that you always hear me. Confidence. But I said this on everybody standing around so that they may believe. Believe. Isn't that beautiful? Man, you can't make this stuff up. And when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And you just, this is where it gets Monty Python-esque. I mean, he comes out. The grave clothes are kind of falling off. God has a sense of humor, you guys. It's like he's just done the greatest miracle of all time, and here's our friend Lazarus, and he's looking a little bit worse for wear, but he knows, I'm brand new. I'm brand new. Christ, the Lord, is risen today in you and me. Hallelujah. We're going to demonstrate some people who are responding to the resurrection. And I love the responses to the resurrection because they're all a little bit different. When the Jewish leaders see Lazarus come out and they hear the whole town excited about the resurrection, the Jewish leaders say, if we let him go on like this, everybody's going to believe in him. Isn't that amazing? I wish I had that kind of confidence in my Jesus, that if I just keep talking about him and loving people, everybody's going to believe in him. Well, that day they made plans to put him to death. But we have a nice, comfortable religious establishment. We do things a certain way. We want things done in order. Don't mess up the paradigm, Jesus. Get rid of him. Because we're making lots of money and we got lots of comfort in our paradigm, so get rid of him. That's one reaction. I prefer Mary's. She thinks he's the gardener. Jesus, risen, living. And he says her name. First thing Mary hears from the resurrected Christ is her name. If you don't know Jesus here today, he's calling you by name. If you do know him, in the depths of your pain, he calls you by name. And Mary says, teacher, Rabboni. And then she grabs him and she won't let him go. Oh, I love that. You cling to the risen Christ and not let him go. That's a great response to the resurrection. Thomas, Peter, Matthew, John, I've heard you guys enough. I'm not going to believe unless I see the scars. And Jesus comes through the wall and says, Thomas, I will meet you in your doubt right where you are, and shows him. This is my favorite response to the resurrected Christ. You know what Thomas says then? He falls on his knees and he says, my Lord and my God. Whew. And then the guards, Roman soldiers, seasoned, hardened. At his appearance, the guards looked, and the angel comes down on the stone, rolls it away, sits on top of the stone. Again, it's kind of funny. This angel blazing with lightning. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. Like a couple days ago when they said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, I am he. They all fall down. And then to Mary, the angel leans over and says to the Marys, a couple of young ladies, love that. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified, dead, buried, given up on. He is not here. He's risen, just as he said. Quickly, quickly go tell his disciples that Jesus is risen. Kathy, can we play that little clip while my friends come up and we get ready for their baptisms, please? I love this Easter song. Meditate on the resurrection of Christ for a moment, please. Can we see the words? Baptism, Kathy's coming up.
Bells ringing, they're singing.